everyone. I'm Katrina Morrissey, and welcome to Farm Tech Talk, the livestock show. Thanks, as always, to Grassland Agro for making this show happen. It's been another awful week weather-wise, and I'm joined by Adam Woods, Martin Merrick, and Aidan Brennan to talk about how that's affecting farms and more. But first up, it's a quick fire round. Remember, you can email your questions to us at farmtechtalk@farmersjournal.ie, or you can WhatsApp us on 086-836-6465. Adam, I'm going to come to you first. Our first person says, hi to all the team. I'm hoping you can shed some light on a situation. I bought a beef heifer at the end of September and she's proven in calf. I'm finding it challenging to deal with the owner. He's willing to take the heifer back, but not willing to pay the €380 I'm looking for. I'm not looking to make money. I just want to cover my costs, but the owner is only willing to pay €200. I know I can take him to the small claims court, but I really want to avoid this. Is there any independent body that can provide any insight, or what does your team think? And that listener would appreciate any advice that you can give them.
Yeah, so look, it's a difficult one, Katrina, and it always comes up every year, this going back. And look, they're right in terms of avoiding the small claims court, because it's probably, there's nobody going to win out of that, and there's going to be costs on both sides. What I do, if I was that person, I'd break down the costs maybe associated. Sometimes people don't realise maybe the costs until they're wrote down and they're in front of them, in terms of like meal, whatever, 35 cent a kilo. And if that heifer was getting 3 kilos a meal, it's up at €1 a day, we'll say, over the winter. If they're on 5 or 6 kilos of silage, depending on the weight, you're up at 120, 130. So there you're up at 230, 240 feed costs a day, we'll say, over the winter period. And multiply that up by 100 days or 120 days or 150 days or 180 days if you're up here in Cavan. You're up across €250 straight away. And then, depending on the length of the winter, that could go up to what that person has said at 380. And then you've other costs as well, if there was dosement in there during that time, and whatever animal health pieces or straw, if they were on straw. So I'd write that out and I'd send that over to them. And maybe when it's in front of them, maybe they'll realise, look, it's not excessive here.
Okay, so keep talking, is what you're saying. Next one says, hi Jack, one for the Tech Talk this week. What's Adam and Aidan's view on the dairy beef welfare scheme allowing dairy farmers €20 per beef calf sired by a bull, minimum 3-star GBI for up to 50 calves? This listener says, I think it's a good initiative, but perhaps in the wrong area. Travis Grange has research on Angus from two different sire groups with the same 4-star GBI of €121, but a difference of €25 to €30 in the beef sub-index, which resulted in an 18-kilo carcass weight difference. I'd imagine most farmers are using high DBI bulls anyway, but perhaps not high beef sub-index bulls. Calving and gestation traits alone can lead to the high DBI bull anyway. Is this all going to improve the dairy beef calf price drastically at all? And that's in from Owen, who says he's enjoying the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll jump in there first. And look, I think people know my views on this. It's not ideal. It should look. I'd be saying it still should be going to the beef farmer to help them, to give them an incentive maybe to rear those calves and to weigh those calves and get the weights into the system. On DBI has its faults. CBV is good, and I have a lot of confidence in CBV. But DBI, if I take the number 3 bull, Kilkeel Prime Lad, who's number 3 on the DBI list, so he fulfills the criteria for dairy farmers to use on the dairy cows. He's only plus 2 kilos for carcass. He's going to do nothing at all for beef traits on dairy cows. So the listener is exactly correct on that. I know you'd hope maybe beef farm or dairy farmers would look at those beef traits and try and balance them up with calving difficulty and gestation length and make sure that the beef traits are positive as well.
Okay, Aidan, do you want to jump in on that one briefly before we go to Martin?
Sure. Look, I haven't much to say in it. I suppose it's, the way I always see it is, if you want dairy farmers to use more emphasis, I should say, on the beef traits within the DBI, then we need to be valuing the CBV more in the markets, and that's not happening this year. And that's an awareness issue that goes down to ICBF, to Chagas, to the Department of Ag, to create better awareness of the CBV. And if that happens, then dairy farmers will be using higher beef bulls within the DBI.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Martin, I've got to go to you next. First question in, has there been any further update from Revenue on claiming VAT back on slack mats? I had mats ordered, but put the decision on hold once I saw the piece in the Journal a few weeks ago.
No, unfortunately, there's been no update on regards any of the VAT reclaims over any of the items that we've listed previously. That the whole reason that was raised, Katrina, was because a farmer contacted me who had put in the slat mats and had been refused the claim after it. Now, they had bought it under the premise that they would be able to reclaim the VAT. That farmer told me that when they contacted Revenue on the matter, that they were told that if it was a new shed, so a brand new build, then they would have been able to reclaim the VAT on it. So that seems to be the case either for cubicle mats or slat mats. But as regards retrofitting into older existing sheds, it doesn't seem to be the case. Now, I've chased up Revenue several times on the matter, looking for a list of items that have been changed as regards VAT reclaims for flat rate farmers, but they've yet to furnish one. Their famous line at the minute is, each claim is assessed on its own merit. So unfortunately, we're still very much in the dark with it, Christina.
Okay, but obviously keep an eye on the journal in print and online. If there is any update, you'll have it. Next question for you, Martin. If you have had TAMS approval granted for a shed at 40%, can you submit an Annex H form if you've since registered as a partnership as a husband and wife? Research is completed and the wife is under 40 years old. That's from a Tipperary farmer who says they love the show.
Annex H form, Katrina, is generally done. That farmer is going to have to fill out an Annex H form, because what an Annex H form is if there's a change in identity. So that case, that TAMS application is going from a sole trader, the farmer himself, into a farm partnership. So they're going to have to fill that out. As regards if they can avail of the, we say, the higher rate, the 60%, because the wife is a young trained farmer, I don't think so, on the premise that that farmer has applied under a certain scheme. They haven't applied in the Young Farmer Scheme, so they might have to resubmit an application in that case. But it's one I can follow up with the TAMS department on. But my thinking is, no, they'll have to reapply again under the Young Farmer Capital Investment Scheme.
Okay, spot on. Thanks, Martin. Aidan, one for you. Quick question for Aidan, please, says this listener. I have a few days concentrates left, and at this stage, it looks like we'll have cows housed for another few weeks. We're on marginal land in Mayo. Does the 15% crude protein rule kick in on the 15th of April, regardless of whether the cows are housed or not? I'd like to fill the bin with an 18% nut, but I'm worried I won't be able to use them after the 15th of April.
So yes is the short answer, right? No, sorry, Katrina, there's two issues here, right? There's a crude protein as part of the Nitrates Action Programme, which was a rule that came in. We say that after the 15th of April until, I think, the end of September, you have to feed the maximum crude protein you can feed is 15% in animals over 2 years of age, including dairy cows. That's for all farmers stocked over 130 kilos of N per hectare. So the majority of dairy farmers in the country, not just irrigation farmers now, but anyone over 130 kilos of N per hectare, which is a wide net, I would say. And it includes dry stock farmers as well. So they that rule is in place for a couple of years. This year then there's a new measure introduced, which would say that if you can say you want to feed a lower crude protein, and you can pick what crude protein you want, whether it's 13, 14 or 15, I think it is. And for the average for the year, so 15th of April doesn't come in then, it's the average for the year. Okay. That's what you need to do. But in this instance, it seems to be the farmers asking about the 15th of April one, which is for all farmers, regardless of whether you're selecting a lower nitrogen excretion rate or not. So in the rules, there's no opportunity there for leeway. What I would say is that if this farmer buys the ration between now and the 15th of April, you know, they're legitimately buying that at a time that a higher crude protein at a time of the year that they're allowed to do it. So I don't think anyone can say to them after the 15th of April, you know, how is it going to happen? How is the inspector going to find that they bought, you know, it's only purchases after that date, I would say, that you're going to be in trouble with. So I think you're okay to buy it now and say that it's used up or whatever before the 15th of April.
Okay, spot on. Thanks, Aidan. Right, we'll move on. So from the quick fire round and we'll go on to the main show. Adam, you were in Mayo this week, like one of our viewers. What is the weather doing things over in that part of the country?
Yeah, not good, Katrina. Much the same as the whole country, to be honest. I was on Paddy McGing's farm just outside Partrie in County Mayo, lovely part of the country. But weather really wreaking havoc over there, as Martin will I'm sure agree. In terms of his system, buys in sort of 430 kilo heifers sort of June, July, August every year, and brings them round to the following sort of June, July, August to finish them. So he has quite heavy cattle there. His cattle sort of over 500 kilos, so not ideal. for getting out. He actually got them out for a couple of maybe 2 weeks at the beginning of February, and had to put them back in again, and they haven't got out since. So that's leaving problems with silage ground, because like many other farmers around the country, they're in a dilemma now about grazing off silage ground. Usually we'll try and have silage ground grazed off for the first week of April to go out with fertilizer. We're a long way off that at the moment in terms of even getting cattle out up here in the northwest. So I can't see a lot of silage ground being grazed at this stage. And Paddy has made that decision on his farm that he's not going to go out and graze that silage ground. He's just going to spread it. What he's going to do actually is cut back on the nitrogen. Maybe only go with 60, 70 units, still try and go in then for an early cut. If you take 2 units a day, we'll say on whatever, in terms of 30 days, that's up at 60 units. So that will be ready to cut maybe in the middle of May if he goes out with that smaller amount of nitrogen, and then go for a bigger, maybe more quality cut maybe on the second cut. Look at a really good farm walk. Alan Nolan is the Chagas advisor over there, and he held it really well and sort of answered questions well. Francis Quigley was up from Kildalton on calibrating a fertiliser spreader, and there was some really good tips there on keeping the fertilizer spreader level, making sure the veins are right, you know, little things. Fertilizer is still very expensive. It's €500 a ton, so we need to be sure that it's going out right and it's going out accurately. So yeah, no, some really good advice at that walk.
But well, I can assure you there's plenty of cows still in sheds in Central Prairie as well as Mayo. It's just a desperate year. Adam, I suppose one thing that the weather isn't affecting is the cattle trade. It was another positive week this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I guess that's a function of exporters and live exporters being in the market. I suppose if we were dependent on farmers and grass, we'll say buyers to buy those cattle, we would definitely be seeing an impact in the market. But they're probably not dominating the market at the moment. It's the live exporters are dominating it. And obviously we've got that Shorthorn Express back into Greenore at the weekend. That'll be loading up in the next few days to head to Morocco again with another load of bull weanlings, which is really, really positive. And that has really lit up that weanling trade over the last 2 weeks. You know, we've got top quality 300 to 400 kilo weanlings up at, you know, 384 a kilo, and we've seen very, very good sales. I know Martin was in Bala this week in terms of a special weanling sale, really, really positive. And you know, €4 a kilo was probably a little bit off the mark maybe a couple of weeks ago. You'll see in the paper this week in terms of that Bala report, it's €4 a kilo is quite common for those top quality weanlings. Dry cows, very good trade as well, in terms of they're probably upped a little bit. We're hearing that the manufacturing trade is really, really strong in that run up to Easter, and the retail trade going really well as well. So that's, we'll say, putting some of those factory agents back into the market to buy those factory cattle, because Finnish cattle are quite scarce out there on the ground.
And speaking of Mart, Ballinakeel is in the news. What's going on there?
Yeah, some change of hand. I guess in general, the Irish Mart scene doesn't change hands. A lot of co-op Marts, Katrina, which will never change hands. But you've got some private entities as well. Carnew is probably a big one. Carn Ross is another one that James Mallon runs, and he's widening out the net there. Ballinakeel, we're hearing, is going to come under James Mallon's management very soon. We've seen some documents this week in terms of transferring over the company that's going to run Ballinakeel Mart into we'll say Ballinakeel Mart Limited, which one of the directors is James Mallon. So yeah, I guess it's important to see that Mart going, keep going. It could close like other Marts. I guess the decision could have been taken to close it in terms of Colin McAvoy running it, but it's going to come in under the net of James Mallon now. So we'll watch that one with interest to see how it goes over the next couple of months.
Spot on. We'll be talking to Martin there in a few minutes about the Easter bounce for lamb. But what's going on in the Finnish cattle trade?
Yeah, so it's maybe not a bounce, maybe a bump in terms of where we're going, and a good bump at that. I suppose maybe quotes up 5 cents in some cases. Cows definitely improved in terms of our grading. Cows are probably up maybe 5-10 cents there this week, and bulls also improved. Bulls are in tight supply out there. We're up at 5.40 there for ewe grades, maybe even a little bit more if you had enough of them. The general run of bullocks is probably 5.15. You might get 5.20 at a push. General run of heifers is 5.20, maybe at 5.25 at a push for heifers as well. But it's pretty positive. Cattle are scarce. Agents are looking for cattle, and all the talk on the ground is that they're going to get tighter in the weeks to come. And a lot of people talking, maybe, you know, of a base price heading for maybe 5.50 come May, which we would really hope to see that, because obviously those cattle will have been on a feed a long, long time.
Yeah, and after a terrible spring, it'll be more than welcome. The pedigree bull sales, how are they going at the moment?
Yeah, pretty good, I guess. I don't know, is the dairy farmer as strong maybe as last year? We're not seeing those really highs. Seen a couple of good sales over the last week or 10 days. Kilkenny was a really positive trade, a top of 5,500, I think it was, for an Angus bull down there. We've seen the Simmentals, a really good steady trade at the weekend, the Herefords as well. Limousines is a big one now. This is their spring premier coming up on Monday. Shannon will be down there on Bank Holiday Monday, reporting from live from Rosgrave for Farmers Journal. And that's a real gauger in terms of if you take maybe Charlie's and Elphin a couple of weeks ago. This is the big tester now for the limousines in terms of next Monday. So we'll have the full report in next week's Irish Farmers Journal.
Brilliant, thanks, Adam. Martin, we'll come to you. So we're reporting record lamb prices on the page three and further back in this week's paper. Over 5 euro a kilo for lambs and up to 9, I think, for hoggets. What's driving that demand?
Look, I suppose if we're talking about our lamb price, first off, you're talking about, say, between 450 to 520 a kilo live weight is what they're paying at the minute. But that's being driven by the butcher trade. Factories simply aren't touching any of these early lambs, springborn lambs, because they're just too hot. They wouldn't be able to turn over a pound on them. So it's dominated by the butcher trade at the minute. I suppose if we're wondering how come the price is there, well, for your spring lamb, it's a scarcity, really, Katrina. A lot of farmers have gotten scalded in the past with poor springs and having early lambs and not being able to let ewes and lambs out feeding high levels of meal. So a lot of people have turned away from, let's say, your December or January lamb. So there's a scarcity of prime spring lamb out there. The hogget trade at the minute, look, it just seems to be on fire all around, and cull ewes as well. Cull ewes are being dominated by export market out to the UK, so they're being shipped out live. We have, if we're looking at what the trade is in general, we've our Easter trade there, we've Ramadan. We're kind of in a pinnacle there for at the minute. It's probably as good as things are going to get this spring. We're going to see a dip down, I'd imagine, in the next coming weeks, but we're probably at the peak now at the minute.
Okay, so enjoy it while it lasts, I think is the message from that.
Yeah, look, it's been a tough spring, and anyone that has hoggets left over from last year, it's a nice booster for them to get now at the minute to cover feed costs and fertilizer costs, and just to put them in a good mood really with the poor spring they're having. If you're lambing ewes now at the minute, it's some little bit of a boost to be getting a decent check from the mart from last year's tail end lambs, like, so it's all
Absolutely.
positive at the minute anyway, and there's great confidence in the market. It's not just the finished lambs we're seeing that are good, like your 40 to 45 kilo store lamb that's going to take another couple of weeks of finishing. They're still a very strong trade at the minute.
Good news, good news. You had a piece in the last week as well about the rising cost of concrete and gravel prices. How much more would I be paying for concrete today compared to last year?
We see your ready-mix concrete, you're seeing about 5% increase on last year. But the real worrying thing there, Katina, is that a lot of quarries have written out to farmers and building suppliers now at the minute, and they're saying that there's a 5 to 8% increase coming again in the coming weeks. They're saying that there's rising costs on their side and that they simply can't offset them now. They just have to pass them on to the purchaser. It's puzzling, really, Katina. Like we say in the piece last week, we've seen steel prices fall dramatically, timber prices, they all rose after COVID. That was acceptable. There was issues with supply and all that and raw materials, but they've come down in the last year or 18 months, whereas cement, ready mix, gravel, they've all kept increasing up, and this, we'll say, a 5 to 8% increase in concrete again is going to be another real kick in the teeth, and it's hard to see where it's coming from. Energy costs are much the same as last year. If we're looking at what the main constituents in ready mix are, it's sand and gravel that are sitting in quarries. It didn't get more expensive to the quarry owners aren't buying that. Like it's sitting there in their quarry ready to go. And like wages haven't increased dramatically. I think 1% of an increase in the last year or so. As I said, energy costs are the same. It's really hard to see where it's coming from. What I would expect if we were to ask people, I would say some of the industry experts on it, they'd say that it's carbon, we say carbon taxes and more pressure on what is seen to be a high carbon industry to reduce the amount of carbon they're producing. But look, it's I it's a little bit fishy, to be honest, Christina. It's hard to see how come when everything else has come down in price that these still have to keep increasing, and it's going to affect firm buildings going forward as well.
Okay, so we'll likely hear more from you on that, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. Speaking of concrete, you had a shed in this week's paper that is likely to gain a fair bit of interest and probably go nuts on TikTok like the last one did. A greenfield site in Mayo, a very impressive setup. I mean, I've never seen a shed so bright. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, a couple of strange things about this shed. I won't say strange, but some novel about it. Number one, its location, Kilkelly, County Mayo. It's not a dairy heartland. It's not down the Golden Vale like you are there, Katrina. So it's great to see a new entrant up here in the northwest like that. John Kane is the farmer that is entering into milk. So he has just started milking this year. I was lucky enough to get out to the shed hours before the first load of cows landed on the farm. So I saw it all nice and brand new and clean. It's geared up for about 100 cows. So there's 96 or 98 cubicles in there at the minute. Ample slurry storage. I think there's over 220,000 gallons of slurry storage. So what John has done there is he's combined the soil water and the slurry storage together, and he's put in an aeration system. So his idea is the soil water and the slurry are going to kind of have a, it's going to dilute down the slurry for him. He has the aeration system in place, so he's going getting a dribble bar for his own tanker, and he's going to be following cows during the summer, hopefully, as they're grazing out paddocks with it. And he's going to look to reduce down his fertilizer costs that way. But the main reason he put the aeration system in place, and I think it's a very, very valid reason, is he's two young boys, and he simply didn't want to be agitating and have agitation points open and all that. So he has the agitation points in place, but they're being locked for safety reasons. Like you said, Katina, really bright shed. And the simple reason for that is heat gear cheating. So what listeners would say, what they might know about heat gear is it looks like your clear Perspex sheeting, but it works the same way as cement fiber sheeting. So it doesn't allow the heat in that you would see with your, say, normal skylights, but it allows all this light to come in. And readers will see from the pictures and that and the video on TikTok how bright the shed is. It's literally like walking, there's no difference from walking outside to inside the shed. Really impressive setup, 20 unit pair, space to go for 24 units. Space that he can double up the pair to go to 48 units if he wants. Just all the bells and whistles. He didn't skimp on anything, and it's really credit to him because himself and his father done all the concrete work himself, which is even more impressive as well. Like, and it's a top quality finish.
Brilliant. So that's obviously a double page spread in this week's paper. The video is on farmersjournal.ie, and you can get a small little teaser clip of it on Martin's famous TikTok account. Aidan, we'll come to you. Weather, fodder, grass. I mean, what's happening out there? It's certainly not good in any part of the country.
Sure, the quick answer, there's not a lot happening, Katrina. It's, I mean, cows are in more than they're out. And okay, I mean, it does vary. There are some herds that are managing to grab grazings here and there, but more often than not, it's stop rather than start. It's getting really serious at this stage. I've been talking about the weather with Jack for the last 8 weeks, you could say now, and it's been wet the whole time. Normally we get an opportunity, even in a wet spring, of 7 days or less even of dry weather that gives farmers an opportunities to get on top of jobs such as spreading the fertilizer or getting slurry tanks out, getting slurry spread. And cows are grazing for that week and they get 10, 15, 20% of the farm grazed or whatever. But like we're at the stage now at the end of March, almost into April, and many farmers have no fertilizer spread. Many farmers have slurry tanks full of slurry because they just can't drive in the land. And it's a really serious situation. I was in Northern Ireland earlier in the week and very bad up there as well. On in the Ards Peninsula, which is renowned as dry land, the driest part of Northern Ireland, and spring calving grass-based farmers out there struggling to get any grass grazed as well. So it's widespread, and it's costly, Couple of things on it, you're if especially the silage issue, Katrina, is a big one. If you're out of silage now, which many farmers are facing that prospect in the next week or 10 days because there's no real change in the weather forecast, that means then you're buying in silage, you're buying in all your feed. That's a very expensive diet. It's going to lead to cash flow problems. There's already cash flow problems on many farms. salespeople, sales reps I'm speaking to are saying it's hard to collect money, and there's still money outstanding from last year. So it's a reflection, I suppose, of where we're at in the sense that farmers got really caught last year because milk price dropped, cost stayed the same, margin dropped, and for many people who weren't monitoring it closely enough, they got caught in the hop. You know, they weren't expecting it, so they weren't able to tighten the belts as quickly as they maybe they would have. But look, there's nothing you could do but this weather, you know, and that's an additional cost. If last year was a great year, we'd still be in a bad position now because the weather is so dire. So really, I mean, I look at it, Katrina. There's kind of four things farmers should be looking at. Number one is making sure cows are well fed. So that's mean planning your silage stocks, measuring them every couple of days, counting how many days you've left or how many weeks you've left, and putting in contingencies in place if needs be. Secondly, then is managing cash flow. So that's an important step. If you're looking like you're going to have to buy silage, you need to have the cash in place to buy that silage because you know there's no credit for buying silage. You can get credit for meal and fertilizer, but not for silage because you're dealing farmer to farmer. So if an overdraft is required, you can go to the bank. They'll have an overdraft in place within a couple of days. So in fairness to the banks, they're prompt in that regard. The other one then, the third thing I would look at is probably to do with body condition score. Making sure cows are in good order. So that because that that if you run down condition score now, there's a long term implication of that, both in terms of lower performance in the dairy cows milk production, but also fertility. And we're not far off from starting the breeding season. Like we're many herds down south will be coming into dairy in the next 2 weeks or so, starting the breeding season. So that's we're getting closer and closer to that the whole time, which is a big concern. And the other one then obviously is slurry, and Adam has touched off it. Slurry tanks are getting full, and are full in some cases as people moving slurry from Billy to Jack around the different yards. Now they're all going to get full, so there's going to have to be some effort made in order to you know spread some of that on the drier land, try and minimise damage, move it to neighbouring farms if they have capacity there, take it to an AD plant. Something is required, you know, in terms of making sure that you know you can't have cows walking around or any cattle in full tanks. So something has to be done there, and it's a grab and go opportunity as well. I'd say you don't need to empty the full tank. If you take a couple of loads out, it'll buy you a bit of time and minimize environmental risk as well, obviously. But they're kind of the main ones I would touch off, you know, and I suppose the silage is probably the number one because like you can do everything, you know, once you have the silage, and if you don't have silage, you're in big bother. So hopefully the weather will change, but the forecast isn't brilliant like for next week either. You know, there's rain in it, like, and the problem, as I said in the show before, like the problem with most of the country is that soils are absolutely saturated. And if you were on a not a very free draining soil, you need that land really to dry from the top as opposed to the bottom because there's a very little movement of water through the soil profile. So if you're on a heavy soil, you really need windy, dry weather and sunny weather for that evapotranspiration to kind of lift the water out of the soil from the top. You know, and obviously there will be some movement through the soil as well, but it's slow. Compared to the free-draining soils, where limestone or sandstone soils, where water will move freely down through the soil profile, and even if it's not overly dry overhead, you're still going to get some, you know, drying like of the soil, and those farmers will get out to grazing pretty soon. But it's those on heavier soils, like you're talking a week or 10 days really of dry weather required for those farmers to be kind of back to some semblance of normality.
Yeah, no, it's like as you say, it's silage and taking that action now to forecast when you're going to need it, not waiting until you need it tomorrow, I suppose, because there is some around, but there's not a huge amount of it around. Milk prices, Aidan, is key to the cash flow element of things that you spoke about there. You've got the Milk League in this week's paper. Who's doing well? Who's dragging the feet?
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, I suppose, look, there's a the I suppose the who are doing well at the moment are those that are offering the early calving bonuses, Katrina. So you've got the likes of Lakeland, Arrivo, Tyrlone, Centenary. They're all offering 2 to 3 cent a litre on top of the base price because of February. You know, so they've offered that for the winter months. And to be honest, like I'm not saying it's a bit of a scam, but it's a bit of a it's you know the supplies of milk are so small at this time of year, even in February. it's easier for them to offer these bonuses now, and it shoots them up the milk league, and they get a bit of a kick out of that in terms of the boardroom, or farmers are happier because they're higher than everyone else. But so that's you'll see that in the milk league, the Farmers Journal, you've those co-ops are doing well. So what I would be saying is that the test will come later in the season when our peak milk supply are those processors that are currently top of the milk league, are they still going to be there? Or are the West Corks, who are currently drifting down towards the bottom of the table, are they going to actually, be the leaders as they usually are? So look, that's where we're at. But in fairness, most of the suppliers, most of the co-ops have upped their milk price between, 1 to about 2 cents a litre over base price over the last for the month of February, which is positive, obviously. Now that some of that is coming in different supports, but milk price increase nonetheless, which is positive. It's needed. Supplies are well back though, Katrina. So farmers are, while milk price went up, the amount of milk that they supplied fell in comparison to last year. We're seeing supplies back as well, widespread these weeks also. So March is going to be a difficult month as well in terms of income from farms, because while milk price will hopefully lift a little bit, the supply of milk is going to be back again. So their overall check would be impacted in that regard. But that's Milk League at the moment. I mean, there are some headwinds facing milk price, you'd have to say, currently. The volatility, I suppose, is the key point here, that it's moving so quickly. We saw a soar in butter prices for the month of February, thereafter falling back now again. Who knows when they're going to change? And there's a lot of, I would say, traders taking positions, futures markets. It's not all technical supply and demand that's driving these increases or decreases in price. But we are seeing pressure come on commodities for sure. But I mean, it's up to it shouldn't really affect Irish prices too much, because there's not much product available, so the co-ops aren't selling much at the moment. So even though the commodity prices might be rising highly or falling sharply, it doesn't really matter at the minute to us, because we haven't got product to sell. What's key is, are we going to get a decent price during the peak months, in terms of our commodity prices going to be high over the peak months, and that'll follow on then to getting good prices for the autumn as well.
Okay, just before I let you go, Aidan, calf prices and demand. I mean, there's big numbers going through a lot of the markets for the last couple of weeks. What's the demand like? What are prices like?
Yeah, it is poor, and I mean, tis in general, you'd have to say it's poor. Like the sales this week, particularly towards the end of the week, were poor. I was told ships weren't sailing either, but weather conditions were poor. When they're not going, Katrina, the price just falls. So you're seeing good calves go for small money, 10, 20, 30 euros for even Herefords or Anguses, like, never mind Frisians. So the calf market is challenged, and it goes back to the point I made earlier on around the CVV. It doesn't seem to be making much of an impact. Look, it's new and it's going to take time for it to bed in and all the rest, but I'd be disappointed with maybe the lack of knowledge around the ring in terms of who's buying those calves on the CBV, because the dairy farmers have made big investment in getting their cows genotyped. They're getting all their calves genotyped in the help that, in the sense, I suppose, the knowledge or the industry good initiative, that this is going to improve the information available to calf buyers, and they're making the investment then in terms of using more beef AI, more high DBI, more high CBV bulls. But if they're not going to get the value of that, they're going to go back to the old ways. So I'd be concerned around it. And certainly, if there's not a premium for those calves, there's no incentive for dairy farmers to use those higher beef merit
Yeah.
bulls. But hopefully, look, it'll change, and we'll see more positive impacts in terms of dairy farmers rewarding beef farmers rewarding dairy farmers for using the high CVV bulls.
Money talks at the end of the day. Thanks
Yes.
for that, Aidan. Right, that's it for this week's Farm Tech Talk, the livestock show. Thanks to Grassland Agro for helping to make it happen as usual. Thanks to my guests, Martin, Aidan, and Adam, and thanks to you for tuning in. Remember, you can get in touch with all your questions using email or WhatsApp. The email, just to remember, is farmtechtalk@farmersjournal.ie. You can text or WhatsApp us on 086 836 6465. And don't forget, you can listen back to any of our Farm Tech Talk, the Farm Tech Talks or the podcasts, any of our podcasts, by going to ifj.ie/podcast. Jack Kennedy will be back in the hot seat again next week, but until then, take care and safe farming.